This morning, my message is entitled The Ripple Effect. And as we were worshiping, I just feel like God's going to kind of take it in a different direction than I thought. So I'm riding a wave here. I know Pastor Steve spoke on sin a couple of weeks ago, and I wasn't here, I was sick, and when everybody came home was like telling me what he spoke on, I'm like, no, that's kind of what I was going to talk on. And I met with him this week and just kind of shared a little bit about what I was going to share, and he said, no, that's awesome, it's we're not covering, overstepping each other or anything. I was going to switch my message up, and this just really, truly has been on my heart for a number of weeks to share. And when I heard Steve was speaking on a different angle of sin, I thought, you know, it's kind of cool that we're on the same wavelength. God is speaking to us in unity, and he has a message that he wants us to hear. And I got to say, when I hear God say, I want you to speak on sin, and I honestly, I say, God, but we've got the best church ever. You know, like, why do you feel that we want to do this and to speak on this? And a few of the things that I felt the Lord really impress upon my heart to encourage you today and to share with you today, main points is the ripple effect of sin, and we're going to look at that in a minute. But as well, I really felt the Lord saying, do not grow weary in doing good. And with that comes, as we are doing good, and I know we're doing the community breakfast, and I'm sure in your own personal lives doing good, sometimes we grow weary. And the enemy will come in those places and very subtly bring, you know, where he kind of just takes us off another direction, and sometimes we don't even realize. And so I felt the Lord wanting us to really hear from him this morning, saying there is a ripple effect to sin, and we need to be on guard. We need to always be watching and keeping our eyes focused on the Lord, but be watching. And don't grow weary in doing good. So stay focused in the Lord. Stay consumed with God, and don't allow other things to come in and divert what God is wanting us to do. So this is more of not a message that will be condemning or any, in any way, but more of an encouragement to really be aware of our surroundings and really just take heed in what God wants to do in our lives and be willing to hear his voice and keep pressing on, even when you get tired. Keep pressing on. So let's just start and we'll see where this goes. So the ripple effect. So Newton's law, and I looked this up on the internet last night just to make sure that I wasn't just making something up. And I wrote it down in very... like easy, because when I read it, I was like, what? That doesn't make sense. So anyways, basically, for every action that we do, there is a reaction. So for everything that we do, no matter what we say, no matter what we do, no matter what we act, no matter, you know, if we do something sinful, if we do something good, there will always be a reaction of what we have done. So I tried this before and it kind of backfired. Remember when I had that gift that I was going to give and nobody came forward for it because they thought I had something and that it wasn't real? I have, it says 20, but apparently my granddaughter wanted one. So there's 19 Timbits in here and they're fresh. They're just from Tim Hortons this morning. So this is, I'm doing something good. This is an action of doing good. The first person that comes up here can have this box of Timbits. Here you go. She's the only one who's hungry this morning. So the reaction is obviously Natasha came to take those Timbits. So the negative of actions, and I was going to use Lisa this morning, but she actually had to work. So the funny thing with Lisa is when she does her hair, when she styles it nice for a day, you can't touch her hair. So I was actually going to go up to her and go, nah! And she probably would have taken me down and tackled me and beat me up or something. But, so to my action of messing her hair, that would irritate her beyond belief, and she would not be impressed. Anyways, another action is Tori, Lisa's daughter. We have a thing, and I don't know why it started or what, but it's just kind of silly. And I lick her face, and I don't know how it started, and it's weird, and I know you're all going, that's really disgusting. But so now we have this thing that when the other one isn't paying attention, you know, you get this big slap up your face with somebody's hand. So, but now, because of that action of doing that, any time that we come near each other, we're both like this. You know, like, get away, put that thing back in your mouth. I don't want it. So for every action, for everything we do, there will be a reaction. There will be a ripple effect of what we've done. So I'm going to start off by talking about sin. And one thing about sin is we need to know is that God is not out there, and I wanted to hear Steve's message, but it didn't record. So from what I understand, from what I've heard, is he's saying exactly what I'm going to say right now is, when God forgives us of our sins, he's not waiting to punish us and hurt us and be mean to us and the big thumb. You know how we talk about the big thumb that comes down. He wants to forgive us, and he wants to love us, and he wants to have us in relationship with him and communion with him. So he's not like the big bad guy out there who's just waiting to pounce on you. That's not at all what it is. Whenever we commit any kind of sin, he is always there to forgive and always there to accept us back in and hug us and set us back on the proper path again. But sometimes with our sin, there is a ripple effect. Even though we've been forgiven and even though God takes us back under his wing and sets us back on a track and up on a way again, sometimes there is a reaction to what we have done. So to look at that, I just want you to think about in the Bible where it talks about the story of the Tower of Babel. And at that time when they were building the Tower of Babel, everyone was of one language. Can you imagine? We all spoke the same language. Like, that would be so cool. But because of the Tower of Babel and because of their unity together in trying to grow this tower to the heavens, God came down and he separated them by causing them to not be able to communicate with everyone. So he gave them all different languages. So what happens is they ended up forming little groups that spoke the same language. So they weren't all united together in one language. They were separated now. So the effect of their action, the effect of their sin, would be that God separated them by their language. So whenever you try to communicate with someone who doesn't speak English, I want you to remember that is a reaction of sin. That's a ripple effect of sin. Did God forgive them if they asked for forgiveness? Absolutely. Did he still love them? Absolutely. Did he ignore them and forget about them? No, he pulled them again under his wing. If that's what we ask him to do, he absolutely will. But he still loves us, he still carries on for us, but there is that ripple effect. So I think now when I try to communicate with my relatives in Germany, I had to learn to speak German to be able to communicate them. That is a ripple effect. Another ripple effect that we see in the Old Testament from sin is Abraham was told by God that he was going to have a son through Sarah. And they were quite old. In the New Testament, it actually says that they were as good as dead. And so Abraham waited, and Sarah waited and waited for this child to come. And it was years and years and years, and it just wasn't happening. And after a while, Abraham thought, you know, maybe we can help God out a little bit. Because obviously he's forgotten about this, or something's up. So they decided to take Hagar, which was a concubine, and have a son through her. And through this, Ishmael was born. Now, did God say, okay, you've sinned against me, you've taken things into your own hands, therefore I don't love you anymore, you're not forgiven, you're not going to have the promised son that I want to give to you? No, he didn't. He still forgave, and he still gave Abraham his promised son later on. And that son was Isaac. But the ripple effect of that sin, we are still experiencing today. Because when we look at Ishmael and Isaac's son Jacob, those are the two tribes that we see now. Ishmael is the Arab nation. That's where his family line comes from, is the Arab nation. And from Isaac, who bore the son Jacob, is the Jewish nation. And those nations are what we hear about every single day in the news. It's those family lines that are fighting constantly for thousands of years because of the sin of Abraham. He didn't listen to God, and he took things into his own hands. And therefore, two sons were born, and now those family lines are continually fighting still today. So we are still feeling the ripple effect of that sin. Yesterday we went to a funeral, and the pastor there was talking about how as humans our physical bodies don't know how to handle grief. And it was interesting because he said, we were not created to deal with death. We were created to live with Jesus, with God, you know, in perfect harmony. But because of the fall of man, because of the fall of Adam and Eve, then we now physically die. So we were not created to handle. So when somebody dies, we don't know how to handle it. Of course we do go on and life goes on, and I understand that. But initially, we think, how many times have we said, God, why? I don't understand why. And that questioning comes because we weren't created to be able to handle it. That's not how God made us. He made us to be with him in paradise forever. But because of the sin of man, because of the sin of Adam and Eve, we are now experiencing the ripple effect of death. And that ripple effect is now we die. But we do have a hope. We do have Jesus. And we do have, and that's the awesome thing, because even though they sinned, again, God forgave them, he still loved them, he still took them, you know, they're in heaven with God right now, and we can still have that relationship with him as well. But sometimes when we do things, there is a ripple effect. Now, the ripple effect of good, doing good. All through the New Testament, we see Jesus doing amazing things. He is healing people, and he is loving on people, and he is giving of himself to people. And his word, his gospel, still goes forth today. Again, thousands of years later, the ripple effect of his doing good, we still hear about today. The Bible is still on the number one best-selling list. I mean, after all these years, after how many people have tried to completely destroy the Bible, after, you know, all that, it still is effective. It's still the number one seller. It still is alive today, and that's God's word, and that's a ripple effect of good. So there's the positive and the negative to our actions. There's a saying that says kindness is like a boomerang. It always returns. So when we do good, it will come back to us. Has anybody ever seen the movie Pay It Forward? Where, okay, so you know the whole idea of doing things for people. How awesome does it feel when you do something good for somebody? You know, you hear of different people who pay for somebody in the Tim Hortons line or the person behind them. You know, even as simple as when you're driving along and somebody's trying to turn and you stop and allow them to come in. You know, just doing something nice really, really makes you feel good. And I'm sure the positive effect that it has on the person that you've blessed is even more incredible. Can you imagine being the one who was blessed in a Tim Hortons line, get up to the counter ready to pay, and they say, oh, the person in front of you has already paid. I mean, how ecstatic. I mean, I would be on my Facebook just telling the world, you know, like, somebody paid for my coffee or whatever. And that's the ripple effect. It will go and spread. And other people will get that idea and go, hey, that's an awesome idea. I should do that sometime for somebody. So the ripple effect of doing awesome things. A couple of personal stories of ripple effect of positive. And I'm not sure if I shared this story with you before, but before my dad was a Christian, he honestly didn't want to have anything, he didn't want to hear about church, he didn't want to have anything to do with it. That's just how he was. He had a little shop of stripping and refinishing furniture behind our, we lived in my parents owned an apartment building, so we lived in the bottom apartment, and he had a little shop back there that he did stripping and refinishing. And the pastor from our church would come and visit my dad couple of times a month, maybe like I wouldn't say once a week, but really often, like probably two or three times within the month, he would come and visit my dad. And he would never, you know, preach to my dad or say, you have to go to church or you're not living right, or he would never do that. He would just come in and just visit with him. How are you doing? What are you working on today? How are things going? And there was never any condemnation. And my dad, we grew up Catholic, so my dad would call him Father. Because that's what he knew. In the Catholic Church, he'd call the priest Father. So I thought it was neat that he never even corrected him with that. He never said, no, no, that's not right. I'm a pastor. He never did that. He just, if that's what he felt comfortable with calling him, then that's great. Well, while he would have his little visits, the pastor's wife would, she wouldn't pop in to see my dad at all, but she would always bring a little plate of home baking that she made that week. And she would just sneak into our apartment and put it in the fridge, and she would go off and do a little walk or do whatever while Pastor Dubois was having a visit with my dad. So when Pastor Dubois left from his visit, my dad knew all the time that he could walk into the kitchen and have a little treat, because he knew she was there sneaking in, giving her his little treats. And it always kind of became a little bit of a joke, you know, like he, because as soon as Pastor Dubois would leave, we'd watch my dad and he'd be rushing in, you know, to see what did he get for a treat that was left. This went on for a number of years. So you talk about persistence, for one thing, of this pastor. He would just come and he just befriended my dad. But his good had a ripple effect. Because one day he just happened to say to my dad, there's a play going on at the Aurelia Church, and it's called Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames, and I'm going to be there, and if you want to come, it'd be awesome to see you. And he kind of just left it at that. And that just kind of started to play in my dad's mind, and long story short, he ended up coming, and he gave his heart to the Lord. And he has been a completely different man ever since. But I look at that, and I see the ripple effect of somebody doing something good. He poured into my dad. He didn't preach to him. He didn't bring his Bible and slam it on the table. He just poured into him. And the ripple effect was my dad now will be in eternity one day with Jesus. Vanessa and I were, during the Christmas holidays, we went to Toronto to look at some different schools for her to go to. And as we were a little bit early for one of our appointments, so we were parking and we were going to go get some lunch. When we were going into the parking, it was underground parking, you had to pay a $20 deposit. And I only had $20 cash on me, so I was a little nervous that if we went over the time, because they had a big sign, cash only, is there a debit machine somewhere that I could get some extra money? So when we got to the parking attendant, I was telling him, trying to explain to him my dilemma about only having $20 cash, and is there a debit machine, whatever. And he was like, I'm sure he hated his job, and he was, you know, you get those people that just do not want to give you the time of day. And so I was explaining to him, and he just kept saying $20. And I said, but if I go over time, you know, is there a machine, $20 cash? That's all he said to me, $20 cash. And I'm like, no, sir, you don't understand. So I'm trying to generate some kind of conversation, and he just, $20 cash, that's all he said to me. So it took everything inside of me to not be like, dude, like seriously, you're not hearing me. So I was like, okay, thank you, sir, and I drove away. And I said to Vanessa, if something happens, I'll just come out and you can stay in your appointment. We'll work it out. No big deal. So we went for lunch, and before we ate our lunch, we obviously prayed over our meal, and Vanessa starts to pray. And she prays, God, just bless that man. He's obviously having a rough day. So we just pray blessing over him right now. And I sat there and I went, oh, learning a lesson from my daughter. And so I joined in and I said, yeah, you're right. God, forgive me for my attitude. And we pray blessing over him. Whatever is going on in his life, we just speak blessing on him. So we did our thing and we came back. And as we were coming out to be reimbursed because we didn't spend the full $20, that gentleman sat there and chatted with us. I swear, like, it seemed like forever. It was probably like 2 or 3 minutes. But he was complimenting, you know, wow, are you guys sisters? And I'm like, ha ha. No, she's my daughter. And he's like, oh, can you believe it's 2013? This was, you know, just as New Year was it. It's 2013. Oh, where does time go? And he sat and chatted with us like we were his best friends. And when we left, I'm like, Vanessa, that's because we prayed for him. That was a ripple effect of not going, me in my mind thinking I wanted to just anger out at him, but I didn't. I shut my mouth, and my daughter prayed over him, spoke blessing over him, and we got to see it like that. We got to see the blessing. That's the ripple effect of blessing, of being positive and keeping on with God's attitude and being, I love the term, being Jesus with skin on, and that's what we really truly need to be. So action and reaction. Everything we do has a reaction. And sometimes it's for good, and sometimes, sadly, it is for bad. In Colossians 3:23, it says, in everything you do, work at it with your whole heart, as though you are working for the Lord and not for men. God wants us to do everything we do in honor of him. Every single day, to honor him. And I look at, you know, I'm ecstatic with the community breakfast. I got to do it this Saturday, and it was awesome. Again, we had new people coming out, and it's just such an awesome and amazing thing. But I feel the Lord saying that's not it. We can't just hang our hat on that community breakfast and say, yeah, this is what we're doing, and this is our ministry, and it's great, and we're going to just ride this wave. God is saying, no. It's a ripple effect of your everyday life. Everything you do, everything you say, every way you act, everything that comes from your mouth will have a ripple effect. And we need to keep pressing on to do more. I'm going to turn to Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I'm going to read it from the Message translation. So forgive me if it doesn't match up to what there says. It's a common passage of scripture, but I love how it comes from this translation. But actually, Romans 12, 1 and 2. So here's what I want you to do. Pretty plain and simple. Here's what I want you to do. God's helping you. He's going with you. And it says, take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. Don't become so adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out in you, develops well-formed maturity in you. God desires for us to do what he calls us to do each and every day. From our attitudes, going to work, walking around our life, eating, that one hurt, sleeping, in every single thing that we do, do it for the Lord. Do it as honoring, as an offering to the Lord. And I love where it says that you will be changed from the inside out. God does it because he has the best for us in mind, and he will change us from the inside out. We are to do this offering. We are to sacrifice ourselves for him each and every day. Not just once a week, not just, you know, once a month. It's each and every day. The ripple effect of good or bad can be seen in everything we do. In our body language, in what we say, in what we do. I saw a lady on TV the other day, and she was a body language expert. And it was so interesting to watch her explain how our body language speaks more than words. And she used the example of saying to your husband that you want to go on a holiday. And she said, so can you imagine going up to your husband and saying, we need to go on a holiday. We just need to go on a holiday. And then she said, now watch the difference. We need to go on a holiday. We really need to go on a holiday. Do you see the difference? Our body language, the second you put your hands up, what will it cause the person to do? All of a sudden, there's tenseness. And the communication lines between the two will not be good. The ripple effect. He will not be, okay, let's go on a holiday. He's going to be like, what? What do you mean we need to go on a holiday? It's going to cost this much money. And then, guess what happens? Right? You end up not communicating. You begin coming against each other and fighting and arguing. Whereas if you come in a different attitude and your hand is open and you're willing to talk and communicate in a nice manner, the reaction will be different. Well, let's talk about that. Let's see. Can we afford it? Whatever. Okay, these are just silly examples. But the difference in our body language, what do people see when we are people, you know, that we work with, people that we are family, oh my gosh, like my children at home, my husband, what do they hear through my body? I could be saying, Jesus is awesome, but I could be having this face on me that, you know, if I smiled, my face would crack in half. And what are they actually going to read out of that? They're going to read that I'm a big sourpuss, that I'm an angry person. Our actions can speak more than words. We need to be watching those, and they all have ripple effect. We need to sacrifice all of those things to the Lord. Talking about that funeral yesterday, the reaction of this family, the family members who knew that this mother was a Christian and she loved Jesus with all her heart, even though they were grieving, they had peace in their heart that she was with Jesus. And I think it was so cool because that is a ripple effect of her life. She has led a life where those kids know beyond a shadow of a doubt that she is with Jesus. And as much as they hate to see her gone, the ripple effect of her life is celebration because she is with God right now. Ripples last a really long time. Just like I told you with the sins of Abraham, we are still facing that today, and that's thousands and thousands of years. With the Tower of Babel, we're still feeling those ripple effects today. I've heard it said that one negative word that you say to somebody takes something like 7 positive words to remove that negative. The ripple effect of negativity goes on and on and on. In our own lives, in our own actions, what do our lives look like? What is the ripple effect of our lives? What do our children see? What do people see around us? When we are getting ready for church in the morning, what does our family see? Do they see strife? Do they see anger? Ripple effect of when we choose not to make church a priority in our life, not to make God a priority in our life, what is the ripple effect of that? Who is watching? Do we see our children maybe not be as passionate for the Lord because we're not and they're watching us? What about our coworkers? We tell them we go to church, but do they see Jesus in us, or do they see a hypocrite? What is the ripple effect of things that we do? I know it's not easy always keeping positive. Just like when I was with that gentleman in the parking lot, I mean, my initial reaction was I wanted to just scream at him and say, like, you're not answering my question. And I know it's not easy. And that is where the warning comes in when I first started. The enemy is out to seek, kill, and destroy, and he will find your weakest spot. He will find the place that you haven't maybe 100% given over to the Lord yet. And he will come in there so subtly that you probably don't even see it. We have to be on the watch all the time. When I think of Abraham, I don't honestly believe that he intended to sin. I don't honestly believe that he said, well, God obviously doesn't know what he's doing, so therefore. He just was thinking, well, it's taking a long time. Maybe there's other options. And so he did that. But that was so subtle that the enemy came in. I think of Moses, when Moses struck the rock with his staff. He was so angry at the people who wanted water, and he just had this moment of freaking out and just, you know, struck the staff. And that cost him not being able to go into the promised land because of that moment of losing it. And I think in the moment, he wasn't thinking, oh, I'm going to sin, I'm going to do this. No. It happened because it's so subtle. And that's what happens in our lives. The enemy, it says that he comes in a sheep, as a sheep's clothing, a wolf in sheep's clothing. We won't recognize him. He's not going to come and be like, hey, look at me, I'm going to make you sin today. He's not going to do that. He's going to come in so subtly that all of a sudden you've crossed that line, and the ripple effect from that has now caused destruction. And some of those ripple effects will be something that will go on for a very, very long time and cause pain beyond you, cause pain to your children, cause pain to those around you. Because in that moment, you weren't watching. You weren't being careful. In Galatians 6:9, it says, that's one of the verses that I wanted to share with you. 9 and 10, actually. It says, so let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued in doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up and quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get a chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. God is saying, don't give up. Press on. Don't get tired in doing good. We all are here this morning because we love God. I don't doubt that for a second. But we also have to be careful and always keep an eye for where the enemy wants to come in and slowly, slowly bring you off sidetrack. So don't allow yourself to grow weary. And in growing weary, for instance, you know, right now we're all excited about this breakfast, and you know, we're all ready to get up and be here for 6:30 in the morning. 6 months from now, what's going to happen? I got to get up for that breakfast again. 6:30. Whose idea was it to start a breakfast at 6:30? Like, really? Don't grow weary in doing good. Because after time goes on, we slowly start to think, it's not that important. Those people can find someplace to eat somewhere else. It's no big deal. And then what happens? The ripple effect. People start to cancel. They're not able to make it. Then the job gets left on one or two people. Then everybody's like, no, we don't want to do this anymore. And the ministry stops. And the people that we were blessing and so gung-ho to bless 6 months prior are now sitting there going, what happened? Don't grow weary in doing good. And be watchful all the time, because the enemy wants to come in subtly, very subtly, taking you away from God's presence and knowing what God wants for your life. And being in his presence and spending time with him and hearing his voice. The enemy doesn't want that. Are you kidding me? So he will try to divert you ever so subtly, and the ripple effect will be negative. We need to watch. We need to have, you know, our little antennas on and be continually on guard. Be willing, as Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, to daily sacrifice our will for God's will. Don't get up in the morning and think, I don't have time today, I don't need it, I'm fine, I'll go tomorrow and spend time with God. We need to every single day, because the enemy is watching and he loves the negative ripple effect. I'm sure he loves the fact that we, on the news all the time, we're hearing about those two nations fighting. I'm sure the enemy is going, yes, that's one battle I won. Let's not allow the enemy to win any more battles in our lives. Let's keep pressing on and doing God's will for our own personal lives, but as well for our community. Let's not grow weary. I know when I grow physically tired, I don't know about you guys, but that's when my mind starts to doubt. You know, I start to think, oh, God didn't really mean that. He didn't really say that. Or do I really have? I grow weary. And God says, don't. Don't grow weary. Stay strong in me. Sacrifice daily to me. And be aware of the ripple effect. I don't know about you, but I want my life's ripple effect to be amazing, to be awesome. I talked about this funeral yesterday. It was so amazing to be hearing about the fruit of this woman's life. And as I sat there, I thought, God, that's what I want for my life. That the day that you choose to take me, that the room will be filled with people who say the ripple effect of her life was the positive and the good. The reason I'm in church is because. The reason I love God is because. Or the reason I had a meal is because. Whatever. I want those ripple effects to be the positive. I don't want people to look at my life, you know, years later and say, why did she make that choice? Because of the negative that I have to deal with. God loves us. When we do sin, he will certainly forgive us. He will certainly love us. But sometimes there's repercussions. So I challenge you this morning to look at your own life and really, really concentrate and say, what is the ripple effect of my life right now? Who am I impacting for the kingdom? What does my life look like to those around me? To my children? Am I doing all that I can to show them that Jesus is number one in my life? And no matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody does, I will press on for Jesus. What does our relationships look like for those of us who are married or are in a relationship of some sort? What does that look like, the way we talk to one another? What are we saying to those people? Is it positive? Is it godly? Is it honoring? What about our coworkers, people around us? You know, even people that we don't even talk to, that we just, who are watching us, and we don't even realize that they're watching us. You know, it's a small town, and people know, they see your car, they see where you're going to church, and I remember one time, being with Sherry when Sherry was doing WOW in Huntsville. And Sherry and I were in Huntsville going to a store, I don't remember where. And some lady comes up to Sherry and is like, "You're the WOW lady," or something like that. And anyways, we kind of chatted for a few minutes or whatever. And then we walked away and Sherry's like, "I have no idea who she is." But they're watching her. And if she would have been like, me and her walking along and cursing and talking about people and that lady overheard, what would be the ripple effect of that? She probably never would have come back out to WOW again. Because the WOW lady wasn't who she professed to be when she's up here. But she saw good in her, and that ministry flourished like, can I say freaking amazing? Ripple effect of doing good. People are watching us, even when we don't even realize they are watching us. We need to be plugged in. We need to be plugged into Jesus, and we need to be watching all the time for the subtle attacks of the enemy, and don't grow weary in doing good. I pray that in 6 months from now, we are still excited for this breakfast as we are today. I pray that a year from now, you are still excited for whatever God is doing in your life personally right now. I pray that a year from now, you're still giving testimony because it hasn't stopped, it's continued. Let's continue on. Let's continue to grow in this church. Let's flourish. And let the ripple effect be God honoring you.